Good morning. I'd like to call the seventh Osage Nation Congress to order. It is our eighth special session. Today is May 24, 2021. The time is 10:04 a.m. I apologize for the delay. We were trying to get set up with the podium here. We're on day one. Congressman Keene, would you pray for us this morning, please?
Please bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We thank you that you blessed us with this rain. We ask that you lay your healing hands upon those who are sick and watch over us mourners. We also ask that you please give us wisdom as we meet here and try to make decisions that will benefit the Osage people moving forward. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Congressman Big Horse.
Present.
Congresswoman Good Fox.
Present.
Congressman Keene.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Congressman Maker.
Here.
Congressman Potts. Congressman Potts.
He doesn't have a microphone. He's present.
Thank you. Congresswoman Rebard.
Here.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Present.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Present.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Walker.
Here.
Speaker Pratt.
That's here.
Assistant Chief Redcorn.
Present.
We have a quorum. Next is the executive message from Principal Chief Jeffrey Standing Bear. Good morning, Chief. I apologize about the podium. But good morning. Thanks.
Good morning, Madam Speaker. And good morning, members of the Osage Congress. Over a year ago, the United States Congress enacted and the President signed the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, also known as the CARES Act, in response to the public health emergency and negative economic impact of the COVID-19 pandemic in the United States. From the $2.2 trillion appropriated by the United States Congress, the Osage Nation applied for the maximum amount for which we are eligible and received just under $45 million. The American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 is a $1.9 trillion federal appropriation passed by the United States Congress and signed into law on March 11, 2021. The executive has been working with our attorneys, advisors, and staff since before the first version of this bill was proposed in January of this year. The American Rescue Plan Act, ARPA for short, comes with a set of rules different than the CARES law. I emphasize the word law because both CARES and ARPA are federal law with federal rules, federal guidelines, federal reporting requirements, federal deadlines, and serious consequences for misuse of this money. Before I report on the projects and eligibility analysis we have worked on diligently since January, let me share with you what we did with the CARES federal appropriation, although we have reported this to you before. I do this because the calling of this special session of the Congress for the subject matter listed is taken by the executive as a lack of confidence by some, or maybe even all, the members of this Congress on how we spent the federal appropriation from CARES. It is important for you to know that I am confident in the guidance from our CARES advisory team, who are now the same people for our ARPA advisory team. You have heard their names before. Osage Nation Attorney General Clint Patterson, Osage Nation General Counsel Terry Mason Moore, United States Treasury Tribal Advisory Committee member Lacey Horn, outside legal counsel Dean Luthy, and Washington, D.C. legal counsel David Mullen. This advisory team guided our projects through the complex legal requirements of the United States Department of Treasury. Our implementation of the $45 million CARES funds was a success. In 7 short months, we accomplished a meat processing facility now open and serving our people, a state-of-the-art greenhouse and aquaponics facility. We secured our food resources at the Osage Ranch with miles of fence, bison and cattle for food production and needed infrastructure. Over $13 million to individual Osages and small business owners. Resources for the incredible work of our health providers, and much more. Now we turn to ARPA. On May 10, we were informed on how the $20 billion in ARPA federal government dollars for tribes would be distributed. First, $1 billion is set aside to be split equally across all 574 federally recognized tribes. The remaining $19 billion is allocated to all Indian nations based on membership enrollment and tribal employment. For Osage Nation employment numbers, this includes both Osage Nation employees and all Osage Nation owned entities. 65% of the $19 billion, which is $12.35 billion, is distributed by membership enrollment. Osage Nation membership was submitted as 22,925, and our share of the $12.35 billion is to be based on that certified submission. On Wednesday, May 19, I was informed Osage Nation received our share of the $1 billion and the 65%. This amounted to $108,375,827.59. I promptly notified the speaker and second speaker of this event. We currently only have the interim rule for use of ARPA money, and this rule is 151 pages long. We will have the final rule several weeks from now. After that, the United States Department of Treasury will issue what is called FACS, F-A-Q-S, which stands for Frequently Asked Questions. These FACS provide more detail on federal guidance and will further change and evolve what we can and cannot do with this money. ARPA funds have extensive oversight and auditing. We must ensure that everything we do is in accordance with this evolving set of rules. We must only act when we know for certain a project is allowable under ARPA. The advisory team has cleared only a few projects, and we have been moving forward on several of these, and includes the Fairfax Senior Housing Project, the new men, women, and juvenile primary residential treatment facilities, and the Transitional Living Center. Also approved and newly started are the design phase for the outdoor recreational park, the Hominy Senior Housing Project, and the Richard Luttrell Memorial Park Project. Other projects which fall within ARPA and the interim rules, but which have been tentatively approved, include HVAC replacements with COVID-compliant systems across Osage Nation properties, continued growth of the Osage Nation broadband internet system, water and sewer improvements in the villages of Pawhuska, Gray Horse, and Hominy, language, culture, and museum remote learning initiatives, continuation on existing CARES projects, and administration costs for carrying out ARPA. These approved or tentatively approved projects amount to $115 million. I welcome Osage Congress oversight of these projects, as long as everything is consistent with federal law. Remember, these funds have already been appropriated by the United States Congress. Requiring a separate Osage Congress appropriation of the ARPA funds will require immediate response from the Osage Congress when there are legally permissible change orders, other project adjustments, or federal guidance changes. This ARPA funding is a rare opportunity to make lasting improvements within the Osage Nation. Finally, let me add two matters. First, our estimate for the remaining 35% of the ARPA funding based on tribal employment is $55 million. But this is only an estimate. Those funds are scheduled to be released by the federal government in June or July. Secondly, there are additional ARPA funds coming to the Osage Nation through the Indian Health Service, BIA, HUD, and other sources. We are working to have these supplemental funds working in conjunction with our share of the $20 billion coming directly from the United States Treasury. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Well, I would like to address to the members and Chief, and I know that you shared a lot of numbers, so I don't really guess that I need to repeat all of those, but I've had conversations with a few members of Congress and the concern about just having communication. That's what it boils down to, is having the communication. I realize, you know, how the CARES Act dollars were spent, all the progress that was made during that time. And, you know, we've had that discussion as well, as far as I think we even did a resolution of Congress to state that we appreciate the work that was done by those task force in your administration. We applaud them for all the work that they've done. And so we're extremely grateful for that as a people. And this is, and we were in the midst of the pandemic at the time. It was a lot to keep up with. I know several folks will hear me, have heard me say, that's a lot of money to give to a lot of tribes, especially a lot of those tribes that will probably never see that amount of money and haven't yet. And say, here you go with four bullet points and send them off and say, but don't get it wrong. If you do, you'll pay it back. There'll be penalties. And that's scary. And especially as Native people, that was real scary to think that it was, I felt really concerned because they would do us like that. They would, that, you know, it just, we've been done like that. Why not do us like that? And so it's still, you know, hard to trust. And, you know, like, here comes help for Native people, for Indian country. And there's so much that hasn't been addressed and honored for so many years, it's hard to think that anybody's just trying to give us something to help us out. And so it was a lot to keep up with and a lot to take care of. And so I appreciate all the work that was done by the executive branch and your people. And yes, we know and care for and trust all of these folks. But it's just a matter of our seats and having that communication. That's what I'm at. That's what I ask of you. I called you up and I said, we want to talk. We want to understand this is a lot of money coming in. And we, with oversight responsibility, I realize it's not an annual operating budget for the nation, but this is once in a lifetime money's coming in. The first time that Congress has ever dedicated specific funding for so many of our tribal entities. And so there's just a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on in Indian country that things didn't go well for them. And that's unfortunate, and I'm sad for them. But I want us to set the example of, you know, communicating with each other, our branches, and, you know, having that. And like I said, I tell you a lot of times, you know, contrary to whatever the thought of us is that some of us have good ideas and good thoughts and good information sometimes. And you know, you can take it or leave it. But I care. I know several folks do care. And it's just a matter of wanting to sit down and have this conversation and highlight the fact for our people that this amount of money is coming in. We're looking at probably $200 million. Let me back up so anybody says, you know, that ran off and say we received $200 million, but it's estimated the $108 million has come in. You estimated about $55 million, so you add that up, and then the other pockets. So it could be around $200 million, and I'm glad for that. I'm happy about that. So participating in all the consultations that have taken place over and over and over, I've heard tribes speak up, and I spoke up multiple times. Your members of your executive team have spoken up, and you know we were for basing it off of tribal population. The last go around, a lot of folks outside of our reservation, you know, said, "Hey, what? You know, how are we going to be helped? These you used us as numbers to for this funding, and that's not what happened. We provided those numbers, but that's not what happened. The government didn't go by tribal population, and so that's what we asked for. We asked that it be based off of tribal population this time so that it would be funding calculated for all of our tribal members, no matter where they may be. And so we also said we're for respecting tribal sovereignty. And there's a headline right here that says that's exactly, you know, what they're doing is to respect tribal sovereignty. Well, what that looks like to me is give us the money that's been allocated for tribes and let us handle it, because we know our people, we know our community, we know our reservation best. We know their needs. Or at least have the ability to speak directly with them to talk to them about it. And so to me, that was important, but that's not what's happened again. Here's this amount of money, and here's the guidelines. And they're almost locked up more so than what the first round was. It's made it very difficult. It's very limited language, but it's impactful language that really, it's shaky ground right now. And so I understand how hard your executive team and your task force and, you know, discussions are talking about how this is going to play out. What are the rules? What are the laws? And so I'm not sitting here trying to make anything more difficult by any means whatsoever. I'm just trying to have this meeting and come together and talk about it and just express our interest and responsibility to weigh in and provide input for as voices of the people, like you. And so I don't want you to feel, or anyone working for you, to feel like it just boils down to we just don't trust you. That's not what I think. So I'm here to tell you that. And I just would like to continue this discussion. Do I know what these pieces of legislation are going to look like in the end? No, I don't. We called ourselves together to have this discussion. We're going to have an appropriations meeting and spend a lot of the day, or maybe not a lot of the day. We've scheduled it until 3 p.m. to just keep going and to hash this out. We'd like to hear more, and I can't speak for every member of Congress, so I don't know what every member of Congress, what their thought is on how they see these dollars playing out, or how much or how little they would like to see them just not go through the Congress. I don't know that. Like I said, I had a conversation with a few members of Congress, and that's where their concerns. I haven't heard from many of the members of Congress at all, and so I don't know what's going to be said today. I don't know what this is going to look like. I may end up withdrawing both pieces of legislation. I don't know. I cannot say for sure what it's going to look like, but I want to sit down and have that discussion. As we talked about, you know, I think you all do have some plans, but then I don't know how in-depth those plans are. So it's just a lot of dollars. There's a lot to work through on your end, and we just want to have that conversation as members of this government, and want to express our thoughts on behalf of the people, and just have that open line of communication, and to hear. Like you said, you've already reported to us at one point. You just provided the CARES dollars report again, and we didn't participate in any of that. And so we, you know, watched it all play out, and we're glad that it went well. We hope it continues. But it's just that we need to discuss maybe some things that might come into play. We hope that they're economically sustainable. And those are just things we'd like to talk about, because we're all in this together right now, and we'll be in it together moving forward to make sure that, you know, we're addressing priorities and the needs of our community, of our reservation. I think this is a wonderful opportunity to build our reservation and our folks up here within our reservation. And so it's just a good opportunity to sit down and have these conversations. I would also speak to the members of Congress and saying, you know, there's been a lot of conversations had, and I know Chief knows that some of us have been really staying on top of this, discussing this and other needs in the community. And so I would just, it would behoove the members of Congress to know what they're talking about when they're out in the community. And so to know that you are discussing with this administration things moving forward, that's the concept of bringing us together here today, so that we are on the same page. Because I told you months ago in one of the last budgetary session that, you know, it's hard to work against. It's a lot going on. There's a lot of work going on, and Chief works hard, and I've seen it firsthand, and his administration does as well, and I appreciate that. I applaud you, because I see it firsthand what's going on, and it's daily, and it's a lot, and there's a lot to discuss, and members of Congress are welcome to be, you know, a part of that and talking. You know, that's, like I said, I'm a broken record, I know, but I say, you know, everyone puts that on their campaign little papers and flyers and all that stuff. And that's, you know, we need to stick to that because it works. And I told them years ago when Chief and Assistant Chief first came on, and as this administration, and I said, we all put this on our campaign material. So how about we do it? How about we do it and then see what happens? And so I'm trying to push for that we continue to do that and to work together. You know, I know there's been things said. I don't work for you, but I'm trying to work with you, and I suggest other members do that. Because it's a time, it's a scary time for a lot of our community and our folks to understand what's happening. And it is imperative that good information be put out to the people, in order to keep them, feeling more positive and safe during this time of need. And so I just pray for continued communication and working together. And I'm not trying to make this any more difficult. I've heard from one or two of the members of the task force and their concern. And I just had to say, I don't know what this legislation is going to look like. I don't know. It's simply to, at this time, bring us together and discuss what this is going to look like, because it's a lot of money. And we just want to discuss priorities of our people, our community. We're going to move into, go through the business and then move into the appropriations meeting for the rest of the day. I'm second speaker, I would imagine, in beginning, you can look at the clock and tell us about when we want to start up. And then, you know, that obviously we would probably at some point, if we should need all day till the end of the hour, then we would break for lunch. So if you want to, when we get to that, just think about that. So those are my comments, and I look forward to this conversation. And I appreciate all the work that, Chief, you do and your administration does. And I hope that everyone has a good day. And thank you very much. Well, now we'll move into reports of select committees. Congresswoman Goodfox.
Thank you, Speaker. On May 18th, the Rules, Ethics, and Engrossment Committee met, and we had a proposed rule change that we sent out of our committee with Rule 4.21. Every member shall diligently attend each session day of the Congress and the committees to which they are elected. A member must submit a reason for being absent from session in writing at least 24 hours in advance, except in the case of an emergency, to the clerk of Congress and to the committee chair. In the case of a committee meeting, the clerk of Congress shall compile a list of members' attendance, including absences at any point for all sessions and committee meetings, and the compiled list shall be a public document. The clerk shall reflect those members who have notified the speaker or committee chair of anticipated absences. Rule 4.23, the chair of the committee shall not preside over the meeting via electronic means, but shall retain the voting rights as a member. Rule 4.24, members are prohibited from attending sessions or committee meetings as a committee member during session by electronic means. Rule 4.29, when Congress is in session, all members shall, while in the chamber, be professionally dressed and shall conduct themselves appropriately as a member of the Osage Nation Congress. Rule 5.21, pursuant to Article 6, Section 9 of the Osage Nation Constitution, the presence of at least 2/3 of the whole number of the members of Congress shall be necessary to constitute a meeting of the Congress for the exercise of its powers. Rule 5.132, Congress committees, subcommittees, or task force shall not hold meetings at any facility or location that may restrict public access to such a facility. Rule 6.32, the sponsor of any proposed legislation shall submit the legislation to the clerk of Congress to be filed via paper document and in electronic word form. The clerk shall assign the legislation a number and confirm the date and the time the legislation is received in writing to the sponsor. Rule 6.311, the sponsor or a co-sponsor of legislation must attend the appropriate committee meeting where the first discussion on the sponsor's legislation will occur. The sponsor of the legislation must be timely notified by the committee chair that legislation has been placed on a committee agenda. And to strike Rule 7.53, a committee may only take up bills or resolutions for consideration if a quorum of the committee is present. A quorum is a majority of the members of the committee. In order to establish a quorum, committee members shall be present in person or via electronic means. Voting yes for these proposed rule changes on May 18th were Congresswoman Alice Goodfox, Congressman Billy Keene, and Congressman Scott Bickhorst. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is bills and resolutions on first reading. I'll read in ONCA 2149, an act to amend 15 ONC section 1A112 and to establish an alternate effective date. Also ONCA 2150, an act to authorize and appropriate $100,000 to the Health Clinic Construction Fund and to appropriate $100,000 to the executive branch for economic impact expenses and to establish an alternate effective date. We are now in motions and notices. Are there any motions or notices? Second speaker, Rebar.
Yes, thank you, Speaker. Good morning. And the Appropriations Committee meeting will meet immediately following session. We have this meeting at until 3 p.m. So I'd like to begin the meeting at 10:50 this morning. And if the clerk agrees, we can stay on this. On this line, is that okay, clerk?
Clerk, do they stay on this line?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I have one thing. It has been brought to my attention by some members of Congress and requesting that members who are meeting by electronic means, if you have the ability to turn your camera on, please do so. There's been times where we're in meetings and members are asked a question and then we have no communication with them. So we're not sure if they were disconnected or they're just not there or we're not really sure. So I believe we used CARES dollars to be able to address these because we have met from home or wherever, had the ability to meet for session and committee meetings by electronic means, which was new for this Congress to be able to meet in session. And CARES dollars were used to assist in the ability to have good connectivity and the means to do so. So in order to know that we actually are still maintaining a quorum, that you are participating, for those of you who can get on the camera, please do so. It would be greatly appreciated by the individuals that you are speaking with, the committee chairs, and the other folks weighing in. So, anything else? Congresswoman Goodfox.
I move to adopt the proposed rule changes that Rules, Ethics, and Engrossment sent out of their committee on May 18th for Rule 4.2, Rule 4.23, Rule 4.21, Rule 4.23, Rule 4.24, Rule 4.29, Rule 5.21, Rule 5.132, Rule 6.32, Rule 6.311, and to strike Rule 7.53.
That's the end of the motion?
Yes.
There's second. A motion on the floor and seconded discussion. Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes, the discussion is from me just that Rules, Ethics, and Engrossment Committee met last week, and this, in my motion, I would also like to say for this to be effective starting August 1st. If you voted yes for this, then the rule changes would go back to the way they were before, which was members had to be present for session and committee meetings. But this would be effective August 1st moving forward.
Any more discussion?
Speaker, Walker.
Congressman Walker, you have the floor.
Well, I'm going to vote no. The way these rule changes are being proposed currently, I mean, to me, this is just me, but the way that it boils down to basically one change, and that's giving somebody or a member of Congress the ability to participate via electronic means. I feel like we've reset the deck on how work is being done, not just within the Osage Nation, but around the world. And I've spoken with Congresswoman Goodclock. She knows this. I feel like this goes too far and it's unnecessarily restrictive. We need to be able to participate and do our job via electronic means. If something comes up, we can't participate, whether we're sick or whatever it may be. So if and when we get to a point where the rule change is that it allows for somebody to do that, I'll vote yes. But right now, we're still in a pandemic. I think this goes too far and it's unnecessarily restrictive. So that's the reason I'm going to vote yes. I think we need to set some guidelines that enables members to have the ability to participate 5, 7, maybe 10 times a year. Some, you know, reasonable, common sense ability, again, to participate and do our job via electronic means. There are still people that are, I want to say, taken care of or that are around vulnerable people during this pandemic, and we're not out of the woods yet. So, again, don't want to ramble. To me, this goes too far. It's unnecessary, and we need to come up with a compromise, and this is not it. So I'll be voting no. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Congressman Walker. Anyone else?
Speaker Pratt, this is Brandy.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Speaker Pratt. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Chief, Assistant Chief, and members of Congress, and everyone listening in. I appreciate the opportunity to address you all concerning the proposed rule changes, and I do appreciate the work that the Rules, Ethics, and Committee that they've put in and what they've come out with. I'm in the same boat with Congressman Walker at this time concerning the same rule about the electronic attendance. And I will be I will stand here and tell you that at one point in time when I was the very first, and some of you know this, that were on Congress when we first were elected in 2018, is that I was a proponent for this and actually proposed that we shouldn't meet electronically. And I specifically remember a particular member, a new member of Congress, talking about the fact that, you know, what if I had to have, like, I can't remember the example that she gave, but she said, what if we had to have some type of a procedure or whatever, and I was in the hospital and something, but I was not sick. An example would be an elective knee surgery, and it happened to, you know, be a committee meeting or a session on that day. And I listened to her, and I took to heart what Congresswoman Stabler said at that time, is that I would still be able to participate. I'm still of sound mind. I'm not sick, you know, as far as physically ill. And so I really took that to heart and got to thinking about it. And then, of course, we've gone through the pandemic and we're still in it. We're not out of it yet. And I'm not saying that at some point in time I couldn't change my mind back to being, you know, a proponent for no electronic participation. I get it. I get people, we're wanting to get back into what we consider the regular throes of the, you know, life and everything. And And so I'm just not there yet. And I still think about that the comment that Congresswoman Stabler made to me. And it really hit me hard. And I was proud. I was happy to accept it and think about it and look at it from a different perspective. And so I just know that a lot of the meetings that I've been attending still to right now is still electronic. And it is the plan for us to still meet electronically on some of the legislation for the food code. And it's not to, necessarily say that we have to meet that way. It's just something that is a convenience at this point in time for people to get together. And so ultimately I do feel that if there were some guidelines, I might be more apt to vote yes for this particular rule change. But at this point in time today, I won't be a proponent for it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Congresswoman Levin. Anyone else? Well, I'm going to weigh in real quick, and then we'll vote, because I'm sorry, we're probably passing or about to come up to the meeting time. I don't know. You guys know all those memes about tribal councils and stuff that go around? When people have new cars and stuff like that, and I'm like, man, I'd love a new car. I don't know that I've ever had a new car, and I still drive a 2007. So I'm afraid to get a new car, and I really need one. But I try to work really hard for as a leader of our people and elected official. I'm really proud of my attendance record. I've missed session 3 times and was 7 years, probably going on the 8th year. People tell me that doesn't matter. I mean, that's cool. I think it does matter to some people to have myself and show my commitment. So I've been absent 3 times in 7 years from all special sessions and sessions of the Congress. And this is my fourth time to be speaker. I don't know if I'm going to be sick or whatever, but the 3 years that I've been speaker, I never missed at all. And that's just my commitment. And I realize, because we've gone all this time with the Congress that, some folks miss as much as they want. And so, I'm not really sure. I guess I'd have to really think about that some more because I think that's kind of silly to say I can just see the meme on the way about having 10 sick days a year. I think some folks miss way more than that. So, I think we've all been out to community events. I think we've seen each other at community events, mixing amongst the folks and eating and visiting and going to other states. And I realize that we are still in the middle of a pandemic, but if something COVID Jr. comes in and just a huge wave hits, we do have the ability, because it was even questioned whether we had the ability to, by electronic means, say, hey, we'd like to amend the rules to bring ourselves in by electronic means. So, the pandemic is one thing, but when folks have one other job, 2 other jobs or more, we got to really talk about a level of commitment as well. And we're right here in our community, and all these folks are, doing their jobs and sitting in their seats as employees of the nation who are the frontline workers of every single thing we do. They're able to make it to work and figure it all out. And I just believe that we owe that to our employees and our people, because they're the ones that have to operate on the daily. The casino workers are there. They've been there the entire time. They're the ones who are on the front lines making the money for us to have jobs to sit here and decide what to do with it. And so that's something I want to continue to talk about is as we continue, what I don't know what's going to happen here, but as we continue, that's something I'd like to continue to talk about. And I believe you said August 1st, so that still gives everybody all the different means. I know there's going to be filming soon, so some of us will have to move our stuff, et cetera, but that gives the ability to meet electronically through August. I think that because some members came on right during the pandemic, there's a lot of folks that have never really sat here with all 12 members of Congress sitting here and even had an experience as to what that is and what that means and how much you can really learn from that. And so I just would really like to see us get back to that point. So those are my thoughts. And if there's nothing else, then I'd entertain a motion to...
Madam Speaker.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd just like to add my thoughts here as well.
Congressman Potts, I can barely hear you. I'm not sure if everyone else can.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Okay, there.
I would just like to add my thoughts here as well. I think that some of my thoughts will echo some of the previous members of Congress in that we've made an investment as a nation, our infrastructure. That's what these expenditures for CARES Act dollars to improve broadband access, to improve electronic capabilities. In this branch alone, we've bought iPads for individual members of Congress. I didn't receive one, but we've made that investment. We bought printers to be able to work from home. And there's no talk of our CA committee on how we return that equipment, how we disperse of that equipment. We've made a step forward here in how we serve, how we can serve, and how we function as a body. The Congress alone has spent tens of thousands of dollars on these improvements. The nation, I believe, utilized almost $1 million of CARES Act funding to be able to allow our employees to be able to work from home and telecommute and continue to serve the people. And I think there's been a little bit that's been said here of, you know, our commitment level, and I get that too. I'm relatively proud of my attendance record. I haven't put it on paper, but I've also got a second job, and I've got a third job. It takes a lot of work to raise a family. And I'm here today, but I still vote no on this amendment because we've made a step forward. We've put money into this. We've made this investment, and I think that this is the wrong step to take, so I'll be voting no. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Okay, thank you. We need to vote. Excuse me. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Good Fox?
Yes.
Congressman Kane?
No.
Congresswoman Lemon?
No.
Congressman Maker?
No.
Congressman Potts?
No.
Congresswoman Rebard?
Yes.
Congresswoman Shaw?
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
No.
Congressman Walker?
No.
Congressman Big Horse?
Yes.
Speaker Pratt?
Yes. The motion.
It's a tie vote, and I could ask Assistant Chief Redcorn how he would like to vote. However, it's still not going to pass due to the two-thirds requirement.
Madam Chair, may I speak?
Yes, sir.
Madam Clerk, that motion would require 8 votes to pass. That motion failed.
Yes.
Okay, motion fails. Anything, Congresswoman Good Fox?
So I already knew that the motion was going to fail, but I said I was gonna stick with my commitment to vote it and report, because the Rules, Ethics, and Engrossment Committee voted unanimously a week ago to report it out with all yes votes, that I felt like as chair I needed to make that motion. But I have spoken to a few people that voted no, and we are having a Rules, Ethics, and Engrossment Committee, which will be noticed today for June 10th at 10 a.m. And the compromise is there's going to be a few days in there for electronic means. And if you care to weigh in on this subject matter, you need to be present via electronic means or in person on June 10th at 10 a.m. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Second Speaker Rebard.
Thank you, Speaker. So it's 10:53, so how about appropriation meet at 11?
Okay, sounds good.
Motion to adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Second.
Let's have discussion on that.
Please.
Yeah, discussion.
All right, Congressman. I heard Congresswoman Lemon about to say something. Were you wanting to be acknowledged?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Yes, I appreciate the opportunity. I just wanted to notice the Congress that tomorrow I have a prior obligation that I made a commitment to over 3 weeks ago, and I do not know what my availability will be concerning tomorrow. Been asked to cook for the youth employment orientation, and so that's kind of the discussion that I wanted to have a little bit as far as reconvening tomorrow. And is there any reason why we couldn't consider finishing up after appropriations today? That's just wanted to put that out there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I don't know the answer to that. So I guess to leave ourselves that window, we would adjourn or recess until later today. That's an option. And then we could close it out or keep going. But at that time, I believe that we probably do need to at least, I don't know that we're going to continue to hold the quorum for tomorrow. I believe a couple of people have doctor's appointments and have noticed the Congress, and a couple of you are going to cook. So I don't know how long we would hold the quorum tomorrow, because I believe there are four members who have stated they will not be here tomorrow. So I would, if it's going to stay open, I would suggest that we reconvene on Wednesday. Congressman Walker, go ahead.
Motion to amend the previous motion to recess to the call of the speaker.
Second. I withdraw my motion and I make a motion to adjourn until Wednesday at 10 a.m.
Second.
Okay, I was trying to, there's a motion on the floor to adjourn until Wednesday at 10 a.m. Discussion?
Speaker Walker.
Congressman Walker, go ahead.
Motion to amend the previous motion to recess until the call of the speaker.
Second.
Okay. Motion to amend it to recess to the call of the chair.
Speaker, this is the clerk.
Yes.
The motion to recess does not take precedence. It would have to be a separate motion. It's out of order. It does not take precedence over
a time certain.
Okay. The motion to adjourn to a time certain.
All right. So we'll see what happens. We'll vote on 10 a.m. Wednesday, see what happens, and then there can be a new motion. So all those in favor to adjourn until 10 a.m. on Wednesday, say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Any
yes.
Roll call.
Congressman Keene.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
No.
Congresswoman Rebard.
Yes.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
No.
Congressman Walker.
No.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Good Fox.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. All right. So without objection, we are adjourned until 10 a.m. on Wednesday. Thank you.